Amen. All right, let's grab a Bible. Go to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms for our message this morning. Now, you know, there's just all kinds of stuff in the Bible. And so there really is no lack of so-called source material. There's no lack of truth. There's no lack of ways to understand the Lord or things to touch you. The greatest challenge with the Bible, the longer you read it, the more you study it, the more you believe it, the more you let it be actually part of who you are in your life and your thinking, the greatest challenge is being able at times to focus upon things that the Lord shows you, you see, the Holy Spirit reminds you. One of the great things of preaching and teaching is supposed to be to give us some key thoughts at the time. There's far too much seeking of glory, you might say. There's far too much seeking of success. There's far too much, put it this way, there's too much of men seeking for the stamp and the witness and all that, rather than just being faithful with the book for God's people. And I guess there's a lot of different illustrations of it in life. One of it is kind of like your daily feeding. There are fine restaurants. There are fast food restaurants. There are so-called family restaurants, okay? But in reality, much of eating is supposed to be about your body functioning so that it can obey you and not hinder you. Most of eating is not supposed to be about the mere pleasure of it or what you and I feel like. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get the same nutrients and stuff by having certain flavors and, you know, creative cooking and all that. But in a rural society like the Bible is, you find that it's about enjoying the things that are actually good for you and basic for you. We're not talking about getting off on a tangent. We're not talking about becoming obsessed with what goes in and what goes out and all those sort of things. However, the Word of God was meant to be consumed and have an effect upon us, and even when we're not aware of it, and especially when we're not aware of it. So from time to time, you come across verses, and you may have read them multiple times, but they remind you of something. For me, these verses we're going to look at, and many more, of course, but these in the book of Psalms always remind me. Every time, every month when I read them, they remind me of this subject. Now, it says in Psalm 9, verse 1, and this is attributed to David, this psalm. In your older traditional editions of the King James Bible, it'll say to the chief musician upon Muthalabin, a psalm of David. And so David says this, and keep in mind that many of these were written both as poetry and as poetry put to music. So the picture isn't him going around telling everybody. And by the way, those who preach and teach have fallen into a great trap today of constantly telling us about themselves. Now, some of it, I realize, some personalization it's impossible not to have some. But on the other hand, I think it's because they lack Bible substance and material and perhaps a little bit of humility. And they would have you to think that they have a perfected life. And we're not talking about a perfected life here on our subject today. Verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. That's not a prophecy. Get it? I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Not a prophecy. Not a statement of how consistent he is. Just hang on to that. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. Not a prophecy, not a recommendation, not even a testimony. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Now, through the Psalms and through different parts of Scripture, you find this phrase, I will. And nothing can clear up life like the Scriptures. You take the Scriptures and the Bible, called the words of God, etc., they will sort out and they will straighten up and they will strip down all the other words and sayings of this world, even our own, even Christians' words and sayings. My subject is determination, but it's actually sanctified determination. For example, if you went over a few pages to the right, if you will, turn a few pages. We won't do a great deal of following other scriptures once we start, because we'll be in these scriptures and in this subject. Psalm 39, for example. Let's look at Psalm 39. Psalm 39. So our subject matter is determination, but it's really sanctified determination. And if you were trying to describe it a little bit more to yourself, it's sanctified self-determination. And you'll understand why you need words. Words are very important, how they describe things. You know, I don't know if you realize it or not, but I know at least in the Western world, in America, and perhaps wherever you're living, if you happen to be out of different places in the earth listening, the English language has become actually neutered in its power because of generalizations and extreme statements. For example, when you say something never happens, that should be reserved for when it never happens. If something seldom happens, that should be the word you use. You say, well, what's the difference? Because never is never, and seldom is almost never, but it leaves room for the fact that things do happen. And so when you say never, and in preaching, fellas, you need to get hold of this. If you use the term never when it should be seldom, the listener can often see right through it and go, well, wait a minute, even in the Bible, this happened and that exception happened. Okay, so it's seldom. It's not never. And many a preacher and teacher, a parent, for example, a coach, have lessened their power and lessened their influence by virtue of the fact of using the words that don't really describe what they're trying to say. You know, the use of superlatives today and that kind of thing, in other words, over the top and all that, has hurt the English language. Psalm 39, I've been giving you time to get there, if you understand. I said, this is also to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will take heed to my ways. Not a prophecy, a determination. That I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Now, I may say this to some of y'all who have pulpits and have the ear of people, and you're influencing and discipling, and you're a parent. You need to understand the difference between a sanctified determination and what really happens. Because if your sanctified determination is right, there will be exceptions to where you don't necessarily carry out your sanctified determination. Because the Apostle Paul himself, who the best I can tell was a stronger Christian than you are, whoever's listening, the Apostle Paul himself said, the good that I would, I don't, and that which I would not do, I do. He said, there's things I don't allow, and yet they crop up sometimes. All right, look at Psalm 69. You say these are running 30 chapters apart. They are. They happen to be. For example, if you were picking up your psalms to read them daily for a while, so you'll read them through every month. You read on the 9th, you'd read Psalm 9, and then you on that same day, you'd read Psalm 39 and Psalm 69, okay? All right, Psalm 69. Psalm 69, and run down to verse 30. This is at the beginning of this psalm, to the chief musician upon Shoshanim, a psalm of David. It just happens to be his. Not all the psalms were written by David, and the psalms that were not written by David are not any less. God put them all in the canon, all in the Bible. He said, I will, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. It's a sanctified determination, and it's not a prophecy, and it's not what he goes around telling everybody his great testimony is. Verse 31, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad. Your heart shall live that seek God. It's a sanctified determination. You said, well, what's the difference between a sanctified determination and an unsanctified? I'm glad you asked. Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Y'all flip over there. Got a little highlighter or pencil or something. You could mark these. Now, the I wills in Psalms, for example, and the I will nots, they cut both ways. And we should always examine ours. You know, if you're not careful, some of your I wills and some of your I will nots will keep you from God and will keep God from you. Okay? And you got to watch that. You got to be very, very, very careful about having some kind of determination. For example, let's say you get burnt by somebody or something happens, and let's say you invest time in people and they don't come out just right. And let's say that something just goes contrary and you go, well, I will never let that happen to me again. Well, you're just about to miss what God had for you, because we aren't accounted as sheep for the slaughters. Paul said, the more I love, the less I be loved. Yea, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. So you better get it in your heart and mind that you've got to make sure you've got sanctified self-determinations, sanctified determinations. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Excuse me, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, etc. That is self-determination right there. But it's not sanctified self-determination. And we're only going to talk about three things. We're going to break this down into three things for today, for this morning. But I want you to see that there's a difference. And if you're not careful, now watch. Well, point number one, self-determination is a gift from God. See, created beings are made such by their creator to have self-determination. One of the differences between mankind, for example, and creation is under the control of God. Creation does praise God, but not in the same free will way that mankind does, that humans can. Okay? So created beings are made such by their creator. Self-determination is a gift from God. And the characteristics of self-determination are put into us. And people always talk about, you know, beware of the strong-willed child. No. You need a strong will to get through life. It's the self-willed child that you got to help. It's the self-willed child that you got to do something about. You can never become excellent at anything with a soft will. See, if you have a strong will, then you can be led to the end of the earth, even to your death. You can follow. You can follow into battle. You can follow wherever God sends you. You can follow into blessed places. You can follow with a strong will. You can't follow, you won't follow with a soft will. And you won't follow God with merely a self-will. Choice is a gift from our Creator, from the Lord God Almighty. You see, self-determination is a gift from God. Choice is a gift. Being able to choose whether to obey or not, being able to choose our course of action, is a gift from God. Because by it is the manner in which we praise Him. There's nothing we could do to add to God. There's nothing we could do to impress God. There's nothing we could make, nothing we could build, nothing we could accomplish, nothing we could perform with our body, our mind, or spirit that would even begin to have the slightest impression upon God. But if we will take our self-determination and give it to Him and let Him sanctify it, that is the one thing we have to give to God that is ours personally, that is, we are the only person with it. Our gifts are from Him. Our talents are from Him. Our abilities are from Him. The one thing we give back to God is this self-determination. It's a gift from Him, and we give it back to Him and say, Lord, sanctify it and direct it. Now you see, conflict arises through our choices. In Isaiah 14, and the companion passage, if you want to jot it down, is Ezekiel 28. In those passages, the conflict between Lucifer and God, Lucifer's seven letters, he was perfect in the day, he was beautiful in the day he was born, made rather, but he was given a choice. He was given self-determination as a gift. And conflict arises through our choices. You and I know that as if you take children and you're trying to help them, that the great conflict that arises is through choices. Choices, choices, choices. And some of those choices they might make subconsciously or unconsciously. Sometimes we really think they are literally unconscious when they make them. But conflict arises through our choices. And if it's purely self-determination, 99% of the time it's going to be in conflict with God. And so on this idea of self-determination as a gift from God, then the fifth thing is that the conditions set by the Creator are based upon His character. You got to get this. When God told them, you can eat of any tree freely, but don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, He was making that condition based upon His character of holiness, righteousness, justness, love. You see, God is the only one with the purely right spirit. God is the only one with the purely right motive. And the closest we're ever going to be to purely right and purely whole is when our self-determination, which is a gift from Him, is yielded back to Him. So the curse or the blessing are ours accordingly. I mean, in reality, you know if you're saved, and you probably would be saved if you bothered to listen to this, but you know if you're saved that it's Christ or condemnation based upon the righteousness of Christ. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. When we really come to Christ, now here's the difference. It's a false confession for a person to say, well, I'm just totally useless and God saved me. And God says, no, I gave you a free will. I gave you self-determination. Now watch. Here's what the world would have you think. Self-determination is for money. Self-determination is for a career. Or self-determination is for finding your, quote, passion. Or self-determination is to be true to thyself. The fastest way to go to hell is be true to yourself. Now, if you were truly true to yourself, you'd trust Jesus Christ because He died to save you, which you cannot do. You cannot save yourself. Nothing you can do. If you burned in hell for 50 billion years, they ain't going to pay for it. That's all that's going to happen. You're going to burn. Nothing can pay for it. So it's Christ or condemnation. But the fastest way to go to hell is be true to yourself. That old self that wants to have right. See, Christians get confused. And I think that's why they fight the world in a way they're not supposed to fight the world. There's ways that you're supposed to fight the world. But you're not supposed to fight the world constantly trying to convince them of certain things, because the very self-determination that's a gift from God, God knew and God knows that that's what's in between man and salvation. So it's our place as believers to help people see that the issue is, yes, God did give you the ability and the power to do as you please. He even gave you the freedom to do it. But He didn't give it to you for the purpose of you damning yourself, or if you get saved, of just wandering around living a Christian life that you want to live, even if you're doing it in a religious sense, even if you're doing it in a so-called Bible-believing sense. Okay? So this thing of determination, self-determination, is a gift from God. You know, endurance and diligence and pressing forward are a gift. It doesn't always mean earthly success. It doesn't always translate. I'm amazed that the people who take the story about the widow and she had debt when her husband died and he was a man of God and Elisha did not argue with her about it. And she took the oil. He said, take the oil, whatever you have. And that was oil. borrowed the pots, it multiplied. I'm amazed that the people who are hard on the guy that died and her are the ones who are already okay in life financially. But if you'd grabbed them at a different point in life where they weren't, they wouldn't qualify for what they preach any more than they would back then. What is my point? My point is this, that endurance and diligence and pressing forward and moving on and those things are a gift. Self-determination is a gift from God. It's what we do with it that matters. So specific, number two, there's just three things. Specific determinations guide our path. When we make specific self-determinations, okay? In your Bible, for example, and in life, the word let. The word let. For example, they said over in Genesis 37, when the brothers are putting their heads together and they're angry at Joseph and they're mad at him for messing up their, you know, sin, basically, they said, let us slay him. They were going to put their will to it. It's a will issue. Over in Exodus 4:18, it's said of Moses, he says, let me go and check on my people in Exodus 4. He's saying, give me your will about it. Grant me your will. Let me. I remember as a boy, if I said, Granddad, can I do this? He'd say, well, I imagine you're able to, but I think the question is, Granddad, may I do it? He wanted me to do that. He wanted me to get permission. But in the word of God, for example, the word let is about specific determinations. For example, if you give some thought to this, and this is pretty interesting, okay? He says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, he that will love life and see good days, ready, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. What is he saying? He's saying let him. Not like, okay, I hope it happens. No, it's a specific determination. Ephesians 5, verse 33, get this. Y'all knew this was in there. Some of you read your Bible when we talk about the word let, okay? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. It's a specific determination. See that difference? So the picture is that things happen, we let them happen as in we facilitate them also. And I think that we have to get back to the fact that we understand our Bible based on what's written. Let me give you another one. Philippians 1, I hope you're jotting it down. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Specific determinations guide our life, our path. Isn't it significant? I believe it is in your English Bible. That when the Lord went to make the place, we're talking about specific determinations. We're talking about our subject matter is sanctified self-determination. Ready? Genesis chapter 1, just jot it down in your notes. And God said, ready, let there be light. He willed it. He just willed it. He said down to verse 6, let there be a firmament. Okay? Verse 9, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together. Let. Okay. So, specific determinations. For example, some determine to pursue a career or a calling. And everything else has to follow that. Now, everyone's got to work, right? Got to make a living, all that kind of stuff. But see, some determine to pursue a career or a calling, and all else must follow that. And there are some decisions you make that matter little at all, and there's some that matter a lot. Some determine not just to pursue a career or calling, but they determine to personalize their own conscience or beliefs. If you make the specific determination to personalize your conscience and your beliefs so you'll be a little different, so you'll be able to, you know, just have these little things, that could be not just your damnation, but those around you. If you're a Christian, it could blind you to truth, sometimes permanently. Because what happens is you've made this specific determination, but it's not a sanctified one. It just rolls out of self. It's not an accident that in the book of Galatians chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul gives a list of the works of the flesh, right in the middle of it is the word heresies. False teachings and stuff, the devil gets all the blame or maybe credit for it, and he's happy for you to blame him and put a watch guard against him because he wants you to trust you so that out of you will come these personalized conscience and beliefs. All right, some determined to put down the Creator and his words. Why? Because they're probably much closer to truth than many others are, even some Christians, and they know if I ever allow that God Almighty created this place, that God Almighty put life into the universe, that God Almighty created human life, and not only does it come from him, but it goes back to him. If I ever do that, then I've got to give account of my self-determinations. There's some who determine to parent contrary to scriptures. In other words, they are not going to discipline. Now, I'm not talking about abuse in any way, shape, or form. I'm not talking about, you know, beating somebody down or nothing. I'm just telling you there's not any part of life where the lack of self-discipline works. There's none. You say, well, what about in creativity? Even then, there's got to be the discipline. I read of a famous painter who, as he got on and became famous and everything was going great, a couple of his family members closest to him would have to remind him, you're supposed to be painting. And he'd say, thank you, you're correct. Just because I don't feel financial pressure, I still should be doing this because I've made a commitment. See, some determine to parent contrary to scripture. They think they'll use it with words only. They think they'll use it with bribes. They might think that as long as the child chooses for themselves, that's what's going to make them excuse me, happy. If you determine to parent contrary to scripture, it can't come out right. Now, God might do something if that person turns their will over to God, but you're not doing your part. All right, some determined to play without consequences. You know, there's a lot of things today that enables people to play every minute they're not working, and some are trying to play while they work. And the problem is that your self-determination to play without consequences means that sooner or later you're going to do something and it doesn't matter to you if there's any consequences. See, specific determinations guide our path. And then some determine to pray and obey. And there's the difference there. See, when you determine to pray and obey, yeah, you can make a mistake. You might misunderstand something, and we all have done that. But there's something that's an amazing safeguard that the Lord himself takes into account when we make a specific determination that guides our path, but we determine it by pray and obey. Pray and obey. Specific determinations guide our path. You can look back and you can see, you read stories of people, and now look, somebody being really good at what they do, I'm not putting that down. But you have to ask yourself, are there many, and there are, many people whose self-determination, for example, about pursuing their career or calling has kept them from God sometimes. It's kept them from God's will sometimes. It's kept them from salvation sometimes. Some determine to personalize their beliefs and their conscience. When they do that, the next thing you know, they might make money. They might have a job. They might be successful at whatever they do. But they can't know God. And they're not going to get to know him. All right, so the third thing is this. Now, get this. Self-determination is a gift from God. And specific determinations guide our path. And sanctified determinations are God determinations. If you want to have a sanctified, okay, you ought to jot down a verse, Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. I'm going to flip over here and make sure I've got the right verse for you. But it's Proverbs 18. And I want to read you this verse and have you mark it down. Actually, Proverbs 29. I knew I had it inverted. Proverbs 29 in my mind, flipping through here. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In other words, if you've got some hot vision, you know, some clear thing, great. But on a daily basis, he that keepeth the law. And keepeth the law is not like trying to work your way to heaven. Here's what keeping the law is. Keeping the law is you and I doing what we know is right by the scriptures, following the scriptures. Now, Psalm 104, verses 33 to 35, mark it down. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. And that one does not have anybody attributed to the beginning of it. It's a psalm for us as well as the others. Sanctified determinations are God determinations. They're determinations you make about God, not about money necessarily, not about career, not about what you want to accomplish, not about going to the gym, not about children. And so I want to say like three or four or five things here real quick. First of all, you should discover your core, central, constant I wills. I think most people don't know what their I wills are. Perhaps because they change a lot, but I think it's because we go through life on autopilot a lot of times. If you jotted down, a 3x5 card in your pocket, jotted down your day, your use of time, your use of mind, your use of money, it will help you understand what your real core, central, constant I wills are. All right, for example, routine is good if it's sanctified. It's good also if it doesn't become your God. If electricity messing up your alarm clock or setting the thing wrong or something changing doesn't throw you out of your tizzy because you didn't have this exact thing to do as far as your Bible stuff. Now watch, some of y'all are so lazy and haphazard that you take the truth that God can get you through the morning when you can't have a devotional time, and you go, well, I'll just do it later. Yeah, but that wasn't what he's talking about. The Lord's talking about the fact when you can't, but you should watch your day, watch your habits. The world wanting to discover themselves is a Bible thing turned self-determination. We're talking about sanctified determination. What are the I wills in your life? The I mights are different than the I wills. Now, you've got to discipline, number two, your I wills. You got to discipline them. You've got to choose them. I like what a guy said. You can't do everything you can think of. Even good stuff, you can't. I know a lot of people that aren't happy unless they're constantly adding I wills to their life. In other words, I'm going to do this. I will do that. I'll get this accomplished. I am this person. And it becomes who they are. No, this is talking about what you do with the will God gave you. The self-determination is from God. The specific determinations guide your path, but sanctified determinations are God determinations. So you have to discipline your wills. You may have to choose. You may have to cross some I wills off and say, well, if I get to these, I do. But on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, I'm going to discipline my I wills so that they can be sanctified ones. Thirdly, you got to die to some of your I wills. Listen, a lot of determination today is religious. I'm talking about an independent fundamental Baptist churches. I'm talking about any churches that are like that, might not have that same exact name. You have to die to some of your I wills. I'm amazed, and I'm talking about men, ladies, you know you have this problem. And I don't want to just deal with the ladies right now just at length or anything, but I will say this because I'm going to get on the men. But ladies, you know that for the most part, you have a bunch of I wills. You may not word them that way. You may word them as I want or I wish or whatever. But for a woman, this much I know by observation, okay? For a woman, when you get your I wills going, and they're in the background and they're running like a background app, you know, on a phone or a computer, they're going to influence how you view your husband, how you view your children, how you view your life. If you're single girls, it's going to how you view your job, how you view your community. That's why you've got to discover the core, central, constant I wills. And that's why you're going to have to die to some of them. I will have this. I will have this kind of life. I will have this much money. Working towards something is fine, see? But the I wills. Number four, then, you got delight in God. Delight in God. Delight in God's I wills. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise. I will be glad in the Lord. I will lift up his name. I will. And you should read your Bible and mark them. Maybe grab a piece of paper, stick it in your Bible, and over the next couple months while you're reading, when you come across one, write down the reference. I know I take the copy I'm reading all the time of my King James Bible, and I've got a highlighter that doesn't bleed at all. And it's better than trying to underline, because underlining you miss a little bit and then you feel like you messed up the whole text. But I'll mark those I wills, and I'm flipping through my Bible or I'm reading and boom, they jump off the page. You have to delight in God. See, here's the challenge. You're not supposed to delight in God using you. That's just never been his goal in life, for your life. His goal is that you please him. You please him by trusting him. You please him by faith. You please him by praising him to him. You know, if the average preacher praised God to his face as much as they pretend they praise him from the pulpit, those men would know God. But they save all their praise for God in the pulpit because it's like a pep rally. That's what people expect of them, and then, of course, makes them look and seem so holy and so walking with God. See, all these I wills are about the personal life. They're all about you and God. Do other people get the benefit of it? Yes. Does it overflow? Absolutely. So discover those core, central, constant I wills. And then discipline your I wills. Choose them. I mean, jot them on a piece of paper and look at them and compare them to Scripture and die to some I wills. There's some I wills that need to become I will nots in this sense. I will not keep espousing and embracing and engaging and pursuing this I will. I will deal with this I will. And then delight in God. And finally, do this. Debrief daily regarding the I wills. And it does include your I will nots, okay? But debrief daily. Slow down. Slow down and go, okay, I got this thing. Watch this. Let's use a physical example. You're driving your car or your truck and you're in traffic. And you say to yourself, I will get to a certain destination by such a time. And then you come across this traffic and it's dead stopped. And there's no way to get off, turn around. I recently was doing a vehicle delivery, delivering the actual vehicle. Flew to a place, grabbed it, driving back. Was making great time. Long, long, long delivery. I'm about 2 hours total from destination, and the traffic stops. And all up, we were delayed 4 hours. And people were literally aggressive. I thought people were going to fight. And none of them were responsible for this delay. But they were frustrated. You could tell they wanted to be somewhere. I wanted to be somewhere. I was exhausted. It had been a long, long trip. 2-day thing. But here's the thing. I wasn't going anywhere. And they weren't going anywhere. And we didn't go anywhere until we went somewhere. And so we have to debrief daily regarding the I wills. See, sometimes an I will not is, I will not embrace this determination. And then there's other times, you know, the Navy SEALs will say the only easy day was yesterday. That's not just about trouble. It's about expecting more of yourself, as in the discipline of the I wills. There are some choices that are already made for a child of God by virtue of the choices they've already made by the child of God. I don't have to decide if someone says, you sit down in a restaurant, someone says, would you like the wine list? I don't have to decide that. I already know. Here's the problem with a lot of y'all. You want to make it a point to let them know you don't do it. It's the way you say it. You say, no, thank you. Some of y'all go, no, I don't drink wine. So what does that make you? Makes you a rotten attitude. That's what it makes you. Some of y'all, your identity is bound up in these things. No, these determinations, these sanctified determinations, are for you and I to serve God with. Self-determination is a gift from God, and you should exercise it. Now watch. Along those lines, that self-determination, when you yield it to God, might be to be yielded to your boss. Might be yielded in their home. Might be yielded to your parents and teachers. Might be yielded to the traffic light ahead of you. And then specific determinations guide your path. Some matter little at all. I get that. But you and I may not know which ones matter till later. And then sanctified determinations are God determinations. Notice David was talking about, I will, I will, I will. And they weren't things that had to do with accomplishment or achievements. It was the use of his tongue. It was the use of his mind. You could say that it was the use of his members when he was going to play the music. It was the use of his heart. It was the use of his thoughts. He said in Psalm 104:34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad. It was the use of his smile. It was the use of his joy. It was the use of his positive way of thinking. It was entirely, absolutely a part of David's determination. Sanctified self-determination. I really pray God will use this to cause you to think, and I pray you will continually check up on it on a daily basis, a weekly at the very least. Sanctified self-determination. Father, we pray you'd use these thoughts now. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.